Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wallbridge, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Father Anthony Cosi, pastor here at St. Jerome, on February 27th, 2021, mm-hmm. the second Sunday of Lent. Now here is Father Anthony.
When I graduated college, one of the things that I wanted to do most, you know, after spending several years behind the books, was get to the mountains. My thing that I wanted to do most, I loved to ski, kind of like John Paul II, being on the mountains. And my sister that I grew up with, we call each other brother and sister, she lived out in Denver. So we went out there, some friends of mine, and we hiked the biggest mountain in the latter 48 of the United States, Mount Elbert. And if any of you have been there out in Colorado, the elevation's a lot different than how it is for us flatlanders here in Northwest Ohio. The terrain was beautiful, started out sunny, kind of how it is here. Then all of a sudden you get to a certain point, it kind of changed into an arid kind of like desert rocks. Then you go on a little farther, there's more vegetation, then snow starts accumulating, and then finally you get to the top. It took us a while to get there. Our bodies were in shape, but the elevation change somewhat got to us. Well worth the view from the very top. As soon as we got there, we thought we had accomplished so much, and then a guy comes up in running shorts, says good morning, and goes back down the other side. Said, how long did it take you to get up? Oh, about 2 hours. And I just hiked that mountain over there too. And you're so humbled when you go out there by how athletic some of the other people are. The majesty of mountains. God also knew this. Throughout Scripture, there's mountains everywhere. We hear about God appearing to Moses on a mountain. He goes up Mount Sinai. He also takes Abraham and tells him to take his son up a mountain, Mount Moriah, that we read about. And Jesus is transfigured on Mount Tabor. I had the opportunity to go to two of those mountains, Mount Tabor and also Mount Moriah. Jerusalem is all a mountainous region. It's kind of like the southern part of Ohio, maybe Cincinnati or the Appalachian Hill region. And tradition has it that the temple in Jerusalem is built right over Mount Moriah, our first reading that we had today. And some people are horrified by this reading. What kind of God would ask that you sacrifice their child? What kind of God is that? But you got to think about the culture that they were in, right? If there was any God, there would be somebody that asked something major of you, asking something of blood. But one thing that we didn't read about today in the scripture was that Abraham says to the attendants, take care of the donkeys and everything, and we will be back soon. We will be back soon, not I will be back soon. So he knows he's got to sacrifice Abraham. And oftentimes when he's got to sacrifice Isaac. And oftentimes when we see this depicted, you see a little boy and this old man, Abraham. But that's not at all. Abraham's a 90-year-old some man, and Isaac at this time is well into his 30s. He's a fully grown man. He was an obedient son who listened to his father and went up there and carried the wood. And if you're going to burn a human body, it doesn't take just a little bit of wood. It takes a lot of wood and a lot of strenuous effort to get up to that area. So in Isaac, we see something. We see something of an obedient son. And God sees that Abraham's faith is strong, and he stops his hand and says, do not kill your son. I will provide the lamb of sacrifice. I will provide the lamb for you to sacrifice. Don't you sacrifice your son. I'll provide the sacrifice for you. And so the Jewish people had this expectation called the Akedah, where they were waiting for an obedient son to listen to the Father and carry out the will. So today in the scriptures, when we see Jesus being transfigured before three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, something is happening here. And why is he with Moses and Elijah? Why is he with Moses and Elijah? Because Elijah goes up to heaven in a chariot. There's no resurrection for him at this point. He's assumed up into heaven. We know there's a few people that were assumed into heaven. Enoch was assumed into heaven. Elijah was assumed into heaven. The Blessed Virgin Mary was assumed into heaven. So here is somebody who's just been assumed into heaven. And then Moses. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. We oftentimes think of him as this great figure, which he is to the Jewish people and to many and to all of us. But he was not allowed to go into the promised land because he was disobedient to the Lord. Why was he disobedient? Because when his sister Miriam died, he became bitter and he was angry with God. And he took his anger out on the people that he was supposed to be protecting. I think we can kind of draw an analogy. Maybe sometimes those of you who are parents or teachers, the frustration sometimes, and then we displace it and put it in places that maybe it doesn't need to go. And God gave Moses several opportunities to turn from his way, but he didn't. He said, because of that, you're not going to go into the promised land. Joshua is going to bring the people into the promised land. And so he dies outside the promised land until this point that he's finally welcomed into the true promised land with Jesus Christ on Mount Tabor. And I find it interesting because they're talking to each other, Moses, Elijah, and then it says, Peter responded to Jesus. Doesn't say what Jesus said to Peter. It doesn't say then Jesus said this. No, he was having a conversation with his friends, and all of a sudden Peter responds. What's that all about? God speaks to us in a language that is known only to the heart. God speaks to us in a language that's only known in the heart. He's not going to say, Anthony, I am God, believe in me. I am Anthony, I want you to go to my Catholic church. He doesn't say it like that. I think so many of us in today's society want God to kind of hit us over the head with a 2x4 and say it directly. But we know when God speaks in a language of the heart, which is what we're learning about today. And why does he appear to James, Peter, and John? Because they're the only three who stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, Jesus takes them all out there, and he's sweating blood, and he's crying, and he's waiting. He says, Lord, if this take this chalice from me, but if let your will be done. Why does he do it? Because he knows that those three guys are going to stay awake, and if they're going to have the courage to watch what's behind me on the cross there at Calvary, they need to have the hope for them. They need to have hope for them. So that's what he does for them. He transfigures himself so that when they see the cross, they're not as scared. Another little detail that's left out of today's gospel is in Mark's few verses before this. It says, after 6 days, this is the seventh day. It's the seventh day of the week when Jesus is transfigured before them. Coincidence? No way. It's the day of rest, what we are to look forward to in the midst of hope. So in the world around us, sometimes when we can't hear the voice of God and we want kind of this blatant, like, billboard sign, God doesn't come to us like that. He speaks to us in a language of the heart, which he was speaking with the law and the prophets, which is why every time we come to Mass, we listen to that word over and over again so we can start to digest it and absorb it into our hearts. And our response should be something of the same thing. So when we go down the mountain, after we have that rest, that Sunday rest with the Lord, we have the courage to continue in that hope. And what does it say, the very last line of today's gospel? It says they were questioning themselves, what the heck does resurrection from the dead mean? What does that mean after all? And that's the same question that we have in our own day, right? When we listen to, like, all of the world, well, we know that there is a hope of the resurrection because Jesus is going to show us that on Easter morning. So the transfiguration's a mystery. It's a hard one to grasp, but it's on a mountain, and Jesus is giving us hope so that when we go down from the mountain, when we go back into life, in our daily life, we know that we're not discouraged, that we have that hope to look forward to of the resurrection, which is what they were asking about, and we know that God speaks to us, but he's asking a response of trust even in the midst of us not totally understanding. He gave it to the three guys at the Gethsemane, he gave it to him on Mount Tabor, and he gives it to us by speaking to us, not in a language of English, but in a language of the heart, all the time.
Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.